All right, 2 minutes past one. I'm here. Barry's here.
Hello.
Rufus here.
Hello.
Sam's here.
Hello.
Chambo's here.
Hello.
I sat there at about 1:45 and I thought it's been a really good show, and I was really excited. And I turned to Barry and I said, "What do you think of that?" And Barry went, "What did you think of it, Barry?" Yeah.
I thought it's
just all right.
Yeah, it was okay.
There was a good bit about which one of us would be Mickey Rourke and which would be Kim Basinger in the warm-up 9.5 weeks remake.
Yeah, there's an image people can't unsee.
I would feed you strawberries and just see where it led to.
Would you stand in the rain, straddle me under a fire exit?
Well, you know, it depends on the day, really, and the circumstances.
Torrential rain.
Yeah.
You could catch your death.
Yeah, maybe I wouldn't.
Among other things.
Mm. Anyway, look, here are the best bits of our show. Enjoy. Good afternoon, everybody. Good morning, even. Welcome to the warm-up on TalkSport, the world's biggest sports radio station. Max Rushton and the Guardian journalist, Barry Glendenning, alongside me until 1 in the afternoon. Barry, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
I like that bit in the sport where clearly someone's asked Gus Hiddink how well he knows Louis van Gaal, as if because they're just two reasonably old Dutchmen, they must be best friends. It's like asking me, you know, you must know every Irishman in London.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've just had a week of people being very sympathetic about the passing of Terry Wogan.
To you?
Yeah, who I'd never met.
Oh, okay. Are you okay about it?
Well, sad, you know. Yeah. He seemed like a nice fella.
He did, and a broadcasting genius as well. You know, I don't know how he would review this show that we do, Barry.
Well, you know, I've sort of been pushed up one place in the rankings of national treasures, Irish national treasures.
You put yourself
in English broadcasting.
You put yourself as a national treasure, Barry.
Is that where
you wake up in the morning, do you think I'm a national treasure?
No.
Is that how you're viewed in Ireland?
I would say no one in Ireland has the foggiest idea who I am.
Oh, yeah. I have good news, Barry.
Excellent.
Not as good news as to the fact that Ray Stubbs likes to walk around Richmond Park listening to us on a Sony Walkman and we take him to another place.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently the listening figures to this radio show, they come out every 3 months. Basically, someone has to fill in a book somewhere in Northamptonshire. And then from that, we work out how many people are listening to every radio station. Apparently, they're good.
For us?
Yeah.
For this station or this show?
Well, I think both, but for this show specifically.
Okay.
Yeah. But I don't have any more information.
Right. I really don't understand how that works.
You fill in a book. Some people get sent a book and then they fill it in, you know, when they're half cut or just before they've gone to bed. And then from that, we extrapolate and make up. If it's good, you say it's good and you broadcast it all the time. And if it's bad, you just don't mention it.
So if you were given the book to fill in, what would you be putting in it? I think I'd put in
this show,
Alan Brazil, for about 20 minutes before I can muster the energy to get out of bed.
Yeah.
And maybe a bit of late night stuff.
Hmm.
And that's the only radio I ever listen to.
Okay. You don't, you know, just drop into other shows and to the competition to see, you know, how we could potentially improve?
I did listen to the other warm-up yesterday for about 15 minutes.
Okay, is it better or worse than us?
Matt Ford. I wouldn't say it's better or worse. They were eating things.
Okay.
John Richardson was feeding Matt Ford food.
Okay, in a sort of sexual way? Or
not in a sexual way. It was part of a forfeit.
Oh, right.
So he fed him, because there were three random pots with foodstuffs in them out on a desk there just before we came in, and you were going, what the hell are they? Mm. And I knew, I could tell, oh, this is the stuff John Richardson was feeding Matt Ford. So what we can say for definite is that whether their show is better or worse than ours, I'm not in a position to say.
No.
But they'd have no respect for their colleagues because they just leave detritus littered around desks in the TalkSport offices.
If you've ever seen John Richardson or Matt Ford littering, get in touch and we'll build a dossier. And then eventually, you know, we can hound them out and then take their shot. I mean, I don't want to work on a Saturday morning.
I did that for ages.
So like, if you could not, specifically don't text on that subject, or if you've seen John and Richardson,
just watch them. Keep an eye on them.
Yeah, but if you've seen them doing nice things, let us know, and then that'll, you know, then maybe they can take this and we can lie in on a Sunday as well. Right. Do you want the agenda for today's show, Barry?
I think we better get on. Okay, does it involve you feeding me artichokes soaked in Tabasco sauce?
No, no, no. I will just open the fridge and get out some strawberries with melted chocolate.
Oh, so you're going to be the Kim Basinger to my Mickey Rourke, are you?
That's how I see our relationship. Yeah.
Okay.
Would you rather be Mickey or Kim?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I'll have to think of it. Mickey or Kim? Mickey used to be a very handsome, successful man.
He did, yes.
But he's kind of let himself go a bit.
True, but you weren't a highly good-looking, successful man, and you've let yourself go a bit.
Well, so that's true.
But there's some comparisons there. At least he had it. Yeah, Rourke or Glenn Denning?
That's harsh.
Yeah, different show if you weren't there and Mickey Rourke was there. I mean, albeit it'd be a different show if Kim Basinger was in my seat, I guess, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, here's how the show works. We have a 10-point agenda. If we achieve everything on the agenda, it's been a good show. And if we don't, it doesn't matter because nothing in life matters. Item one on the agenda, we talk about walking out in a huff. Two, we talk to a gangster drug dealer from Coronation Street. Three, we have the Mick Hucknall Pelé anecdote on an emergency button if the show isn't going well. Four, we talk to a Bournemouth legend. Five, we find out how many toilets an MLS champion has. Six, the Premier League review is here. Did you watch any football, Barry?
I saw some football.
Okay, good.
And some rugby. Can we do a Six Nations review as well?
We might. We can put that in.
Okay.
Yeah, good. Seven, John Ketley tells Stan and Jim what the weather's like on the South Coast. Eight, personal trainer Luke hydrates us. Nine, we continue our Euros by Dice feature, which hasn't really taken off yet, but I've high hopes for it. We'll just carry on regardless and finish it and then decide if it was good or not. And ten, the 10th point does not exist anymore, but I'm still not allowed to tell you about it. So the phone number is 08717 223344. You can text 81089. You can tweet at Max Rushton or at B Glenn Denning. Two things you can get involved in if you would like to. One is walking out and a half. Off the back of Liverpool fans in the 77th minute walking out because the most expensive, is this right? The most expensive ticket for a game is £77 at Liverpool next season.
Yes.
And so they walked out on the 77th minute to signify that was a bad thing.
Yes, that is correct.
How do you feel about that, Barry?
I think they have every right to walk out and protest at the grasping owners.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, £77 is a hell of a lot of money to pay to watch a football match, particularly when you have no idea what the quality of that football is going to be like. I would personally have more objection to the fact that I think 19 out of 20 Premier League clubs last week voted against capping the price of away tickets for travelling fans at £30. Apparently Everton were the only ones.
Were they?
Who sort of stuck up for the fans.
Because there's Football Supporters Federation, that's their £20 campaign, isn't it?
Yeah, 20
away
plenty.
And they
think away fans shouldn't have to pay more than £20 for a ticket. So
to be fair, Peter Coates, the Stoke chairman, pays for away travel.
Yeah, a lot of clubs look after their fans' travel. I think some clubs even get them breakfast if it's a particularly early start. But I think that might be Leicester City, actually. But, Liverpool fans aren't going to have to pay £77 next season. Some tickets are going to be £77. The prices of some tickets are dropping. But the fans have decided enough is enough. These fans are, you know, stretched to the limit financially already.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them just can't afford to go to games anymore. The worry about these protests is that it ends up with fans turning on each other. And you could even see that last night on the internet. The guys from the Anfield Rap podcast, they were, you know, backing this protest, and other fans were then blaming them for Liverpool dropping two points, you know, because...
Should probably blame Mignolet and Sacco.
I would suggest it was more their fault. But, you know, it may well have been a coincidence that Liverpool conceded two goals when their fans walked out. What I'd like to know is, you know, it's like if you storm out, say, on your girlfriend after a row and mm-hmm. then realise you've forgotten your keys, so you have to sheepishly walk back in the room, pick them up, semi-storm out again. And the Liverpool fans leave yesterday, because almost as soon as they headed for the exits... Sunderland scored a goal. So, you know, if the guys who had been in two minds about staging this walkout and got, I'll head for the exits, and then the goal goes in, it's 2-1, and there's, whatever, 13 minutes left, it's like, oh, God, now.
Does it count half?
If you go back to your seat after, the goal has been scored. Does it still count as a walkout?
Or does it half count if you stand just at the back where the steward's telling you you can't stand there? It's where my dad is for the last 20 minutes of every Cambridge game. All right, so look, we're going to branch that out and just say, look, when have you ever walked out in a huff? It can be football or not football. 08717223344. And because everyone has just noticed that Leicester are doing particularly well.
They are.
They're top of the league. They could win it.
You're joking.
No, I'm not. I'm serious. Deadly serious.
Little Leicester.
Little old Leicester. Yeah,
plucky little Leicester.
Yes, they could. Bottom of the league this time last year. Top of the league now.
Would you presume they were still bottom of the league.
No, they're not. No, they got rid of Pearson
and
Ranieri. So
they're like mid-table, you're saying. No.
Yeah, top of the league, yeah.
Top.
So anyway...
you mean top just under Arsenal, Manchester United, Chelsea
Liverpool,
and the
Spurs,
usual...
Yeah, Southampton.
Then Leicester.
No, top. Yeah. Thought you would have noticed.
You're joking. Next thing you'll be telling me Spurs are second.
Has anything ever surprising happened to you in or around Leicester? We're trying to find out if this is the first surprising thing ever to happen to or in Leicester. 08717223344. You can text 81089. You can tweet at Max Rushton or at B. Glendenning. Let's talk to a Manchester United fan. He's currently in ITV's Beowulf. Famously played Jez Quigley, bad boy in Coronation Street. Lee Boardman's on the line. Lee, how are you?
I'm all right, Max, mate. Thank you.
Yeah, not a problem. It sound like you had quite a heavy night, Lee. Unless you're just naturally like gruff.
I always sound like this. It's been cultivated over many years of hard living.
That's good, isn't it? Do you want to talk about your glittering acting career or the football first? We'll always leave it up to you to choose.
Let's talk about the football, shall we? Let's get the bad news out of the way. Really.
So where? How do you feel? No, Manchester United aren't even being talked about. You know, you're playing Chelsea at 4 o'clock this afternoon, and it's not really a story.
No, it's not, and it's not acceptable as well. I mean, I was working out, if we were to win every game now between now and the end of the season, we'd finish up on 82 points, which isn't enough to win the Barclays Premier League. I mean, Leicester have got more points now. They've got 12 more points now than they had at the end of last season. I mean, it's the weirdest season on record, and it's the weirdest season I've known since probably 93 when Villa and Norwich were looking like they were either one of those two were going to win the title, and we snatched it off them sort of towards the end. But yeah, it's been a depressing year, to be honest with you, Max. I hate football.
So Lee, looks like things might get worse before they get better, because you know Pep Guardiola is going to Manchester City, and it looks like Manchester United are going to react to that by getting Jose Mourinho on board.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't the United way of doing things. I mean, I've spent time with Pep Guardiola. He's somebody that I've been in his company, and he's a really nice fella, and he's a very, very smart man. And I mean, that's the coup of the season, City bagging him, because we're up against it now for the next few years. Because Pep, I mean, he might not hit the ground running, but what he is going to do, he's going to build a stronger team than they've got now, and that is, you know, of slight concern to me.
How much time did you spend with Pep? I mean, I don't want to bring my Mick Hucknall Pelé anecdote. When I discovered that Pelé and Mick Hucknall were great friends, it totally threw me. But like, if you and Pep are great mates, or perhaps even more, that's,
you know, I had a week in Barcelona in 2001. I was invited to go out there and meet him and interview him for this show, this football show. And it was the day that he announced that he was quitting Barcelona as their captain, and he'd been there since he was a child. So the world's press descended on the city. The club went into lockdown. The city were in mourning because their favourite son was leaving. And because he knew I was just some ropey actor and not a journalist, he said, no, I want to see this guy. Let's do it. So I had a day with him, and we kept in touch after that. And I went training with the team, the Barcelona team.
No.
Players like Overmars, and I mean, I thought I could play, but I just looked like a man with, like, you know, two left feet.
But are you a footballer of any sort of note, Lee? Are you reasonable?
I'll be honest with you, mate. A lot of people say they had trials and stuff, but no, I'm not of any note whatsoever. I'll be honest with you.
I think it's forgivable then to you know, not stand out in a Barcelona training session.
It is, but I did think that because I can do keepy-ups, I'm the keepy-up king, I can do keepy-ups all day, I can do thousands of keepy-ups, so I thought I could be able to hold my own. But food, I mean, and interestingly, Louis van Gaal was the manager of Barcelona at that period, but even his goalkeeping coach was 10 times better than me. He looked like Lionel Messi compared to my sort of you know, Frank Boff or somebody else who's got no right.
But you must have been so nervous.
No, I wasn't nervous because one thing I do have is an undying confidence, but it just kind of puts you in your place. And I thought I was in good shape in those days. And yet I look like Britain's fattest man compared to all of their team.
So
it was a real wake-up call, actually.
It was the waking call you needed, wasn't it?
It was.
So, Lee, before you actually went on the field and got shown up, was a little part of you going, you know, I might really impress Louis van Gaal here. I might get a game for Barcelona. You might sign me.
I mean, I thought at the time they had a really good team. That's a really great youth team as well. And I saw the youth team train, and I thought I could take some of these. But, you know, it's only when you're up against people. I mean, I was saying to my son this morning that even semi-professional footballers make a non-footballer look like they have no right to be on a football pitch. You know, so the chasm was so wide, it was insurmountable, I'm afraid.
Lee, did you see in that one training session with Louis van Gaal that he was playing very defensive, no one was allowed to attack with any flair? He was telling Overmars to just tuck in and just hold it up and lay it back.
Instead of training bibs, they were handing out straitjackets. That's what they were doing. I mean, we look like we've been playing with straitjackets all year, and I'll be honest with you, I've had a chat with a couple of people at the club who say, I said to somebody at the club, you look like you've been playing in straitjackets all season, and this person said, yeah, it's because we have been. So you think, well, if, you know, the people at the club are saying that, you've got to kind of go, there's been, something isn't right, something hasn't been right there. And the December period destroyed any good work that was done before that, and they should have made a change during that period. But the fact that they didn't, I find so curious, you know, it's bizarre.
So what do you want to happen? I mean, presumably you just think Louis van Gaal, it just hasn't worked out. And
I want to turn back time about 4 years. Right. And I want to have Alex Ferguson back, and I want it all to have been a really bad dream this whole period. That's what I want.
And you just want him to stay forever?
I want him to stay forever. I want him to be cryogenically frozen and then reanimated in a few years' time to come back whenever we're in trouble. But what's interesting about this is that it's mirroring that period when Matt Busby left, and we had Frank O'Farrell, and then we had Wilf McGuinness, and then Matt Busby came back in to sort of steady the ship. And we're at that point whereby you kind of think, you know, a few people would have wanted Fergie to come back in, even for interim period. And I think that what isn't going to happen is the way that the noises the press are making, it's clear that they know that Giggs isn't going to be given the job. And I would feel more comfortable if Giggs was given the position. I mean, I really would. I think
he could bring Gary Neville.
He could bring Gary Neville, and we could get beat 8-0 every week. No, you know, I'm a big fan of Gary Neville, and I think that. But they need people who understand that club, and I think that Jose, if he was to come in, Jose's never been anywhere longer than three years, and it's not the answer. You know, it's not the answer for us.
Tell us quickly about Beowulf. You probably filmed it about 6 years ago. That's just the nature of these things. But
it was a while ago. But yeah, I joined tonight as Hain until the end of the series. I look really old in it, though. I saw a still of it this morning. I just thought, goodness me, I've aged. You know, it's all a hard living. But what can I say?
but do you just look old now, or is it the makeup? I mean, can you blame it on you know, the Middle Ages?
No, I just look old, Max. Oh, well. That's what it is.
Well, yeah,
it happens to everyone.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do. Give us a score prediction for the Chelsea
today
game.
I think United will snatch it, though. I do. I think if they play like they played against Stoke, I think it'll be 3-1 United.
All right. Very optimistic.
Although they've not been beat for 8 matches, have they, Chelsea?
No, it'll be 0-0, yeah. Lee. Come on, you know it. Lee, appreciate your time greatly.
Thank you.
Thank you, actor, Manchester United fan Lee Boardman. You are listening to The Warm-Up on TalkSport.
Max and Barry's Premier League review on TalkSport.
Welcome, everybody, to the Premier League review, where the music is better than the feature. Let's start at the Etihad, Barry. Manchester City 1, Leicester City 3. I mean, Leicester were very good, and Manchester City were very bad.
They were appalling.
I mean, they didn't do anything.
Martin De Michaelis looked like a supporter who'd won a competition to play for Manchester City for an afternoon.
I do think, right, and no one mentioned it, but Huth was clambering all out for the third goal. Huth was clambering all out. I mean, literally,
yes.
Just used him as like a like, what do you think? I'm trying to think of an analogy.
Used him for leverage.
He did use him for leverage, didn't he? He just...
Not in a bargaining sense.
I think if Robert Huth lent on you, I would crumple.
Yeah. I heard an interesting story yesterday, or I saw it on Twitter. My friend and colleague Jonathan Wilson mentioned, you know, always eager to ride someone else's coattails.
Yeah.
He happened to mention that this time last year, 13 months ago, he and Robert Huth were in a similar situation, and they were both sitting on the floor of a train to Manchester feeling hungover.
Oh, really?
Because Jonathan Wilson had been at a stag do, and Robert Huth had been at the Stoke Christmas party, I think.
Did they both give their seats up for old pregnant women?
I suspect Wilson was too tight to pay for an upgrade, right. And I don't know why
Huth wasn't in first class. He's grounded, a man of the people.
Possibly.
Why were Manchester City so terrible? Or do we give the credit to Leicester?
Well, I'm sick of giving credit to Leicester at this stage. They're so good. I have a feeling the fact that Manchester City's players know that Manuel Pellegrini won't be there, you know, is definitely off at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
That's bound to have some sort of effect. They're also, you know, with no Vincent Kompany in the heart of their defence, they're just a different beast, aren't they? And not a very good beast.
So what's going to... Because City have got Spurs next, and you could see Spurs going there and turning them over.
Yes.
Is it feasible that City won't finish in the top four?
It's feasible, yeah.
Imagine what Pep would be sad, wouldn't he?
Well,
I would be really disappointed about that.
I would imagine Pep...
He doesn't want them to win the quadruple, does he?
Pep wants them to be as bad as possible when he gets there, so he looks even better when...
But he wants them to
when
come
he turns things
third,
around.
Probably. He doesn't even want that qualification game in the
Champions League.
But they probably will. But look, very well played Leicester City.
Yeah, Mahrez again was fantastic. Hoot on a hat-trick. Leicester top of the table. It's... really defies all logic and explanation.
I've started a very successful podcast with Paul Merson called the Fantasy FC podcast, which you can download from iTunes.
Is this the one you record when he's eating a lamb curry?
On this one, he was eating a curry, yes. There was a good bit where he was trying to pronounce Britta Sombalonga's name many times. But he said, look, if Leicester win the Premier League, right, that is the greatest achievement in sport ever.
I would disagree.
Okay. What are you putting above it?
The Offaly hurling team's comeback from 5 points down with 2 minutes to go to win the 1994 All-Ireland hurling
final.
That
is just one game. It's
okay, Joe Johnson winning the world snooker title in whatever, 1980-something. 1986.
And why was that so good?
Because he was more of an outsider...
than Leicester City,
to win that tournament than Leicester City were to win this tournament.
Was he?
Yeah.
Are you sure about that?
No one knew who he was. No one had ever heard of him.
What about, Jesse Owens is pretty impressive in 1936. Anyway, if they do it, it's totally ridiculous. But do you still think the wheels will fall off? Now everyone thinks Leicester City will win the league.
Notice on Twitter yesterday a lot of journalists who were absolutely beside themselves with glee and mirth and laughter when Claudio Ranieri was appointed Leicester manager.
Mm-hmm.
Now deciding, yes, they can win the league. There's plenty of time for them to lose it. I hope they win the league. Myself and some friends yesterday were saying that if they do win the league, we might go to Leicester for the parade.
Oh, really?
Because it would just be one of the greatest nights out ever.
I know Gary Lineker said he'd walk around in his pants or something, but I'm just getting it. I think we should put a moratorium. We should stop these. If somebody does something, I'll do something just to, you know, get a load of retweets. You know, if Leicester win the league, I'll cover myself in, you know, anthrax and eat pigeons for a day.
I heard a good one of those yesterday.
What's that?
I can't really say. It's basically a certain performer.
Yeah.
Told packed Hammersmith Apollo
right.
that if a certain football team won a certain competition, he would perform a lewd act on stage at the Hammersmith Apollo in front of 3,500 people. And it now looks like he may very well have to do it. And it's nothing Leicester related.
Do you want to, if you want to play blankety blank, Hank gets the performer and the act to 81089 on the text. We only did one game in that Premier League review, Barry, but we'll come back to them at some point.
That was, even by our standards, that was...
It was just in depth, wasn't it?
Are we going to do more Premier League review?
Yeah, we hope so.
Because, you know, there are a lot of Liverpool fans out there, about 10,000, who think their team won 2-0 yesterday.
And
I'd quite like to remove the scales from their eyes and let them know the brutal truth.
This is the warm-up on TalkSport.
On digital radio and 1089 and 1053 AM. TalkSport.
Good morning, everybody. This is the warm-up on TalkSport. Barry, fancy a quick game of Ian Colehouse?
Okay.
Yeah, I think I won last week, so, you know. It's very rare for me to win two games in a row, but let's see. Let's go. Lee Naylor.
Ian Butterworth.
Gary Crosby.
Steve Vickers.
Neil Shipperley.
Dale Gordon.
Nigel Jemson.
Jason Dezell.
Gus Caesar.
David Linegan.
Bob Boulder.
Steve Morrell.
Kevin Scott.
Ian Culverhouse.
Oh, well done.
Gotcha.
Breaking news, everybody. We found Liam Ridgewell. Thanks for all your help in locating him. Liam, good morning.
Good morning. Well, good afternoon now.
Good afternoon, yeah. I was very nervous. You know, this whole feature, Liam, is footballers are nice.
And, oh,
you know,
wow, really?
Yeah.
That's devastating.
You know, it's a devastating start.
Liam, have you ever been presented with one of those rounds of timber for scoring a hat-trick for the Portland Timbers?
Not for a hat-trick. You get it for just scoring one goal.
Oh, is it? Right. Cheap.
So I got lucky enough to score. So, yeah, I've got a couple, actually.
And do you keep them or do you throw them on the fire to keep warm?
No, you keep them. Never can throw them on the fire. Cool, that's like a swearing, that is. You keep them and keep them in the change room. Or a lot of people take them home, but... I can't get it through customs, so we take it home from me.
Is there a law? I don't know. You know, when you have to fill in that sheet saying, are you bringing in? Are you bringing in a log?
I'm bringing a log home. They're going to wonder what you're bringing, that's for sure.
Well, it's like if you go to Australia and you accidentally have a banana in your luggage.
That's jail for 35
years in prison.
That's right. Depends who's taking that banana, that's for sure.
All right, Liam. So this is called Footballers Are Nice, all right?
So
we have to check first if you're nice by asking you a technical question.
Right.
Liam Ridgewell, are you nice?
Oh, that's just technical. I'm a really nice guy. I'm a hoot. I'm great.
You may be a hoot, Liam, but do you do anything nice? You know, we've had players come on here with charity foundations. We've had players who promised to start a foundation under the pressure of live radio, and that hasn't come to fruition. And we've had players who just give 10p to a tramp when they're passing.
I've done that before. Yeah, I've done it to a homeless person to give the kids to... chuck a penny or two in for the people singing on the underground, you know.
Yeah.
But no, I haven't got any of my own foundations to be honest. Okay. I'm trying to see what goes on there, really.
Okay. Does that mean you're going to start one as well? We'll be
not
patrons.
Through this phone call, no.
Okay.
Not through this phone.
Okay. Well, look, you seem nice enough, and I've met you, Liam, so I know you are nice.
Yeah,
and you qualify, and we want to ask you these questions anyway because we've got a bit of time to fill, to be brutally honest.
Yeah, perfect. Fair enough.
All right, so we've got 13 quickfire questions for you, Liam.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Cool. Yes, I'm ready.
Okay. Liam Ridgewell, if Barry and I were to come for dinner, what would you cook for us?
Oh, wow. Are you in Portland or are you in England?
We're wherever you want us to be.
Oh,
I'd like to go to Portland.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. Then I'll cook you some minted lamb on the barbecue out on the deck, just looking over the sunset. There you go.
Oh, beautiful.
I'm sold. Yeah. Liam, if you were coming to our house, which isn't in Portland, for dinner, and we asked if there was anything in particular you didn't like to eat, what would you say?
What do I not like to eat?
Yeah.
Any vegetables, keep them well away from me. I don't need any of them.
No vegetables at all?
Nah, I don't need... I have enough of them on a weekend before a match, so if I'm going to enjoy myself, I don't want none.
OK, so you go all vegetable at weekend and all meat through the week.
To be fair, I don't eat any vegetables, to be honest. If anyone knows me really well, I don't even do that. So nice fish and chips, that would do me nicely.
OK. Do you do your own laundry?
Again, depends where I am. If I'm in England, then no. My mum does it for me. If I'm in Portland, then sadly, yes, I do.
Okay.
Do you recycle, Liam?
I do, yeah. I do. It's a big thing. So, yeah, I do recycle, actually. Okay.
When did you last take public transport, Liam, like a bus or a train?
Do you know what? I'm glad you asked me this one. Yesterday, I took the kids up to Bexleigh on the bus. Oh. We went to cinema.
What film did you see?
We saw the new Alvin and Chipmunks one.
Any good?
Which was... It was very enjoyable, actually, yeah. Through the rustling of... popcorn of all the little kids in there, you could just about hear it, so that's good.
And what number bus was it?
It's a 422 bus.
The 422, an excellent.
Yeah, 422 goes all the way down to Greenwich and all the way up to Bexley. Perfect.
Excellent.
What's your favourite insect, Liam?
What's favourite insect?
Yeah.
Wow.
Some footballing greats have struggled with this. Pat Jennings didn't give us an answer.
Unbelievable. Yeah, I was going to say, it's unbelievable. Favourite insect?
Yeah. You can have a spider, even though it's not officially an insect. You can have
it. Oh, really? Oh, I love a spider.
Although you may have encountered some new interesting ones, exotic ones in the States. Mm. I don't
know. Yeah, I have, actually. None that I can recall, but I'd go with a spider. I don't mind a spider.
What was last week? Spider. Paul Mortimer, the Charlton legend, went for a fly, didn't he? He did, yeah.
It's a tough one.
Liam, do you own a onesie? And if so, do you wear it?
Yes, I do own a onesie, and yes, I actually wore it during the week. Me, Bobby and Crofty driving the car together in the mornings, and Bobby was driving. And to commemorate him driving, I wore my onesie and fell asleep in the back while he was driving.
Does it have novelty ears on it, Liam?
It doesn't, actually. Yeah. As me and the kids have got all the same, so I've got Daddy, Luke has got Luca, and Eva's got Eva, all written on them nicely.
That's terrible.
What's your favourite cheese, Liam Riedra?
Oh, favourite cheese. I don't know what it's called, but I know it's one of the posh ones, and it's green. It looks mouldy.
Stilton?
It might be Stilton.
Stilton, might be, yeah. Okay. It's like soft. It's spreadable. It's nice.
How many toilets do you have?
Oh, two. Two toilets.
Okay, just two. Mark Schwartz will have nine when his renovations are done.
Really?
Yep.
I might as well go and use one of these then. Christ, I'm wasting on mine, aren't I?
Hey, maybe you should get his agent. He's obviously...
You're not wrong. I'm on to the wrong people, aren't I? Going the wrong way.
What kind of pant do you prefer, Liam? Boxer, jockey, tight, loose?
I'm a pants. I'm a proper pants man. Proper pants.
Are you better looking than West Brom's Jonas Olsen?
Of course I am.
Do you smell nicer than Michael Carrick?
Yeah, of course I do. I've got loads of aftershows, me.
Okay, and finally, are you nicer than Linvoy Primus?
Oh, that's a tough one.
Linvoy Primus, yeah, MBE.
Yeah. I am, actually, yeah. I'm going to say I am. Why not? I'm going to back myself.
No, you let yourself down there, Liam, because Linvoy Primus got an MBE for being nice.
Well, I might get one this year then, isn't it?
You might.
Give it over to me.
We'll nominate you. We'll write to the Queen.
Perfect.
And nominate
there you go. Yeah, I'll be all over that.
Thank you, Liam. Appreciate it greatly. Especially the detail on the bus. That was my favourite part.
There you go. That's right. Yeah, you can always know about buses. It's good.
Have a good day, Liam. Good luck for the rest of your time at Brighton, and good luck back at Portland as well.
Much appreciated. Thanks for
Liam Ridgewell, Portland Timbers captain, MLS champion. After us, live and exclusive national radio commentary of Bournemouth versus Arsenal. So last week's results: Germany 1, Ukraine 1, Austria 0, Hungary 0, and Portugal 2, Iceland 2. So this week we're going to go into the second game phase of Group A and B. We'll start 2 p.m. British Summer Time, the Stade Pierre Mauroy in Lille.
Ooh, well said.
Thank you. Mauroy. Russia versus Slovakia. Just to remind you, 1 is 1, 2 is 2, 3 is 3, 4 is 3, no, 4 is 1, 5 and 6 are naught. Here we go. The Euros by dice. Russia, 0.
Slovakia, 1.
Oh, good win for Slovakia. Putin won't be happy. All right, here we go. Romania versus Switzerland, 5 p.m. at the Parc des Princes, Paris. Romania, 1.
The Swiss, 2.
Okay, and 8 p.m. British summertime at the Stade Velodrome, Marseille, France versus Albania. France drew their opening game, if you remember.
The players have already mutinied.
Yeah, they have.
The boss has quit.
Nicolas Anelka's been sacked. And here we go.
Petit Evra has got the hump on.
France nil.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. Albania. One.
Look at this. France in desperate straits at the moment. Next week.
This is classic France. It is. Textbook.
Vintage, especially in, you know,
their own tournament.
On their own
falling
turf.
Falling apart.
Exactly. That's what happens every time France play a tournament on their own turf, except to... of course, for 1998. Next week, England v Wales, Ukraine, Northern Ireland, Germany, Poland. Join us then for Euros by Dice. Time for this. Yes, time to have a quick chat to personal trainer to the stars and me, Luke Granger. Good afternoon, Luke.
Good afternoon, Jen.
How are you? Well?
Yeah, really well, actually. Do you know what I've got about... 5.5 hours sleep yesterday, which isn't bad with a little one.
Oh, yeah, congratulations. You've got a new baby. Well done. And a new Thank member you. Of the warm-up family.
Indeed.
What are you going to talk to us about today, Luke?
Today's focus is going to be on hydration.
Right, okay.
Okay, yeah. Hydration. This is big stuff, right? And you remember, a little while ago, I went mental for all things SAS.
Mm-hmm, you did.
And come across this saying. Yeah, a lot of you would have heard this. We can all live 3 minutes without air, 3 weeks without food, and just 3 days without water. Okay.
And 2 days without TalkSport.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I did a bit of digging around, found out a quick couple of stats. Okay. Being dehydrated as little as 2% of your body weight will lead to fuzzy short-term memory loss. Okay. Mm-hmm. As little as 3% will give you heat exhaustion. 6%, you're basically incapacitated. And at 12%, you're looking at a coma or a funeral. Right? Okay. So water is very, very important.
So now, upbeat, aren't you, Luke, on an afternoon?
No. I'm just pointing it out there. I'm just grabbing people's attention right now.
All right.
So, look, if you're nerdy about your health and fitness like me, you keep a keen eye on what you're drinking, right? So my question to you two is, have you got any idea how much water you've drank today?
There's normally about 5 glasses of water by my bed of different, with a short, small amount. I reckon I've had a glass.
I've had a mug of coffee, a can of Coke, and a cup of tea.
Oh, I'm so sad for you. I'm so sad. Right,
you're always sad for me.
No, but
yet I'm still here alive week after week to prove you're wrong.
It's just amazing. But like I was saying, basically, if you're geeky about this stuff, you kind of carefully measure how much you have each day, okay? All right, now, I'm not expecting, Joe Public to do that, but today's suggestion is this, right? Whatever you drink that's not a glass of water, you need to back it up with exactly the same volume of water afterwards. So, say, for example, if you want to have a glass of apple juice...
Barry's 15 pints of water a night in his local.
I'll burst!
So, look, if you want to have a glass of apple juice, keep hold of that glass, rinse it out, fill it up with water afterwards, drink that at your leisure. There's no need to down it or anything, right? The only difference is, if you have anything that has caffeine in it, right, so tea, coffee, energy drinks, anything like that, or alcohol... you then need to have twice as much, right?
But you see, if you've had a bottle of Pernod, you drink water out of that, it's still going to taste of Pernod. It's not as good,
yeah,
is it?
Yeah, but, I mean, you get the idea in the light
of your world. Luke, can I give you a hypothetical situation here?
Come on.
Hypothetically, this afternoon, there's a rugby match on, then there's a football match. Yeah. I might hypothetically go to the pub and hypothetically drink 8 pints of lager.
A friend.
A friend of mine might. Mm. Yeah. Is he expected to genuinely drink 16 pints of water before he goes to bed?
But here's the beauty of it, okay? Because you wouldn't be able to do that. It would slow you down, right? And I know it would take more than a force of nature to slow you down, Bazza, from necking pints. But it would be so hard to do it. You just wouldn't be able to do it. So if you were to stick to this suggestion, right, do a pint and then sip away on a pint of water, fill it up again, sip away on a pint of water. If you wanted another pint, you could have another pint, but then you'd need to back it up.
You sound like my mum when I used to go to the pub when I was 17. She said, it's fine, no one will laugh at you. You just when they all have the pints, you just get a pint of water. Where's your willpower? Luke, it's excellent advice. Unsurprisingly, we've run out of time. But thank you so much. I'll see you this week for some burpees and squat thrusts. Luke Granger, personal trainer to the stars. Time now for the warm-up news review of the week.
Talk Sport breaking news.
Jurgen Klopp, is it time for Max and Barry to be fired?
No doubt about this.
For sure?
For sure.
What do you think, Claudio Ranieri?
Sooner or later, we have to say stop.
And that really matters to you and Mrs. Ranieri.
That is important for us.
Politics now, and here's staunch Republican Arsene Wenger on Donald Trump's humility in losing the Iowa primary.
Was absolutely marvellous, you know.
It's the incredible understanding of geopolitics that Trump and Sarah Palin have, isn't it?
They have something special.
Yeah, they do. What did Paul Lambert think of Take Me Out yesterday?
Brilliant, from start to finish.
Meanwhile, Eddie Howe went to see the Chuckle Brothers last night.
I thought they were very good.
And now the Chuckle Brothers are standing behind Manuel Pellegrini.
They are not doing nothing behind me.
Tenuous, OK. Louis Van Gaal, how do you predict we'll use your sentences out of context for this mildly amusing attempt at satire?
I cannot predict.
What do you think of Barry?
A stupid man.
What do you think of Max?
An intelligent man.
That fence that's falling down at the Stretford end, what should the supporters do?
They have to support the fence.
When will your voice break?
I cannot predict.
And a bad weekend so far for Steve Bruce with Hull City losing. We still don't know what he's on about.
In and around the bottom area, where we're going to be. And I've had plenty of experience of it.
It's the news review of the week. They were the best bits. I hope the podcast was longer than like 5 minutes, because that shows that we'd had some good bits. Have a lovely week and be kind to everyone you see.